Turn to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. The 8th chapter of St. Luke, beginning to read at the 4th verse. And when a great crowd came together, and people from town after town came to him, Jesus said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said this, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bring forth fruit with patience. I must at this moment say a word to those who are feeling a little uncomfortable. Those who are staying in Keswick for the week and who attended that wonderful gathering here at the opening meeting on Saturday night. You will have found that reading of Scripture somewhat familiar. And you may also find that much that I'm going to say now has already been said. This is, I believe, all in the loving providence of God. And I can only say to you that presumably if you have come this afternoon to hear again something that you have heard already, the Lord quite clearly means to say it to you twice. This great parable is not really the parable of the sower so much as the parable of the soils. We're not told anything about the sower except just what he did. We're not told whom he was. But we are told a great deal about the soils. And the whole purpose of this parable of our Lord is to press home upon us the responsibility of how we hear the word of God. Just look at that 8th verse. As he said this, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We are all thinking so much, and we've had it expressed in our prayer this afternoon, of the tremendous potential what God could do in us and in his church. And so much depends upon how we hear. Also, may I just make a remark? This is a parable for saved sinners as well as for the unsaved. I expect many of you have always looked upon this parable as how the unsaved either reject or receive the word of God. But I think you will find, as we go through it this afternoon, that it has much to say to the saved sinners as well. It is concerned with fruitfulness. What did our Lord mean by fruitfulness? I would suggest two things. Firstly, a salvation that issues in holy living, the fruit of a holy life. And secondly, salvation that issues in effective service. And the two cannot be divorced, for it is the holy life that will be used by God in effective service. And this is the fruit for which our God longs in the lives of each one of his children here this afternoon. And so, all important is the soil into which the seed of God's word falls. And I have headed our meditation together this afternoon, the fertile soil of a docile heart. That word docile was given to me quite recently, and it was not one which I would naturally have used of the Christian heart. But on turning it up in the dictionary, we see how wonderfully applicable it is. The docile heart, a heart that is teachable, submissive, and easily managed. And it is in such a docile heart that the seed will fall and bear fruit a hundredfold. Just to think for a moment of the end of this parable, we have a picture, if you like, of the one stalk, or perhaps a whole field of ripened corn, not a weed in sight, the soil well tilled, and there upon every stem is the full ear, a hundredfold. And this is the longing of the loving heart of God for us individually and for us corporately as his church, bearing fruit, every one of us, a hundredfold in holy living and effective service. This is the ideal. This is the attainable ideal. And that is why we gather in Keswick, because we believe this to be attainable. And we long that it shall be fulfilled in every one of us. But first let us look at some causes of unfruitfulness. The ineffective Christian. And I know that there are some here today. Indeed, do any of us feel that we are 100% effective for God? Are we not all aware that God perhaps longs to do so much more with us in his service? And perhaps the soil of our hearts is not what it should be. The unfruitful Christian, the unholy Christian. Things in the life that should never be there. Things in the soil of the heart that should never be there. And so there is not that 100% fruitfulness. The seed is God's word, we are told. The seed, verse 11, is the word of God. And the potential of the word is the same as the potential of God himself. The possibilities of a seed, even in the hands of the amateur gardener, are tremendous. And the wonder that fills his heart when, having sown his seed after waiting and watering and wondering, suddenly there is the growth and then the full flower, all from that little black speck of seed. The power within that seed, and in the word of God, which is the seed, there is all the power of God channeled into the lives of his children. Now the first soil, we are told, is the seed that fell along the pathway. And immediately it was stepped upon, and the birds came and snatched up the seed. And it was seen no more. Notice that in Mark's account of this parable, the devil comes immediately. There is no time for spiritual things in such a heart. Maybe there is someone who has come this afternoon, and this is a description of their heart. There is no time for spiritual things. The word of God means nothing to them. It's trampled upon. It never has a chance of taking root. And we are living in a day when this is very easily possible. We're living in a day when life is so fast and everything is so slick that the things of the Spirit have little chance. The pathway through the field was, of course, just beaten earth, made hard and unreceptive by the heat of the sun. Today, that pathway would be, no doubt, a concrete highway, or even the sterile pathway to the moon. So slick, so scientifically wonderful. Not a hitch. Everything absolutely planned to the last hundredth of a second. And this pictures our life today. And what chance have the things of the Spirit in such a life? Now we cannot stay long with this type of soil. I can only say to any such here this afternoon that they do not know that they are missing the whole of life despite their smooth transport along this concrete highway. Because that seed was snatched up and it died. and it produced nothing of spiritual value, nothing that lasted into eternity, nothing pleasing to God. Let us move on to the second soil, the stony soil, or as the other accounts add, without much earth, or on the rock. You can see it, just a thin layer of earth, and underneath those stones and rocks. The seed fell into this ground, and quickly there was the little shoot and the first blades of the leaves, and all looked fine. The word was received with joy. There was a certain thrill about the first days of this Christian life. And indeed there are moments of great joy and thrill at the beginning of the Christian life. And indeed, thank God, to the very end of the Christian life. But then something is going wrong. The leaves do not look so green. The stem is not standing so upright. There's no sign of any fruit. And then it turns brown and withers and dies. Why? We are told because of lack of moisture. Because there is no root. My friends, the seed is not happy in this soil. Is the seed of God's word happy in the soil of your heart? Is it welcomed there? Does it rest there? Is it being nurtured there? Is it putting down its deep roots there in your heart? Or is it finding a stony hardness, a dryness? Is the seed of God's word happy in the soil of your heart? For we read that after that first thrill passed, because of tribulation and persecution, as Mark tells us in his account, the plant withers, and the cost of discipleship proves too great. Is there someone here this afternoon who has found the cost of discipleship too much? And you stumble, to use Luke's word, and your Christian life is withering. The first joyful thrill is now all in the past. And a dryness has set in, and the word of God is not happy in the soil of your heart. What is this tribulation and persecution? It is because of the word, we are told, again by Mark. Tribulation and persecution on account of the word. And I would suggest that here again we have an inner tribulation because of the word. An internal conflict within, the word challenging us, and we will not say yes and respond to it. God putting his finger on something which he does not like, but we will not cast it out. And so within us there is this tribulation, this conflict, and without also because of the word, there is criticism. We've been reminded several times already this week that anyone who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And if you haven't found out that yet, I can only suggest that you haven't dared launch out into the Christian warfare. Because if you do, you will very soon find there is opposition. There is criticism. And it's not easy to bear, and none of us like to be criticized. But this is all part of the cost of discipleship. And if we're not willing for that cost, beware that our Christian life does not wither and become completely unfruitful. Now, why is there this withering? Why are we not willing to bear the cost of discipleship? There are the roots. And those roots seek to go down, 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 deep into the soil. But they encounter dryness and hardness on the rock. And they just cannot get down. Now, when the word comes into our hearts and we receive it, we receive the Lord of the word, the Lord Jesus himself. And he wants to put his roots down deep, very deep, into our hearts. If I could use the rather unpleasant picture of the dentist, although even they are becoming less painful than they used to be, but if all the decay is to be removed from that rotten tooth, it can be very painful, as you all know. And yet, that drill must go right down deep. Indeed, sometimes it touches the nerve. May I suggest that there is that nerve of self-love, that nerve of self-centeredness, and when Christ comes in and the Word comes in, those roots go down and it touches that nerve of self-centeredness, and it hurts, and we don't like it, and the cost is too much, and we say, get away, stop it, that's enough. And there is no fruit. There is no fruit. It withers and dies. If Christ Jesus is to be enthroned upon our hearts, then self must die. And that is costly and it is painful. Let us move on. The thorns. This, I think, is a pathetic picture. Well, there is the plant, grown a little higher, because we read that there is fruit on it. Oh yes, there is fruit on it, in verse 14. But it's fruit that never matures. And there it is, with such promise. I don't know if you've ever tried growing lilies. I find it very difficult. Through lack of experience and knowledge, no doubt. But they're often so full of promise in the garden, and there they are growing, and even just about to burst into bloom, and then something happens, and you never get a single flower. Tragic. So full of promise, and your hopes are so high, and yet they're suddenly dashed. And we read that the life is choked out because of the weeds, the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life, in verse 14. Now, this, I think, is an important point I want to make. The sins of a Christian that prevent fruitfulness are not seen as sins by the world. I trust that none of us who name the name of Christ are following in the way of the sins of the world. But when we become Christians, we discover that there are many other things which we never contemplated that they even were sins until we came to Christ. cares, riches, the pleasures of life. Now just think about these three things which our Lord mentioned in the parable. And what's wrong with any of them? Nothing. There's nothing wrong with any of them. We cannot live in this world without the cares of life. We cannot live in this world without riches. And God gives us the pleasures of this life to enjoy. There is nothing wrong with any of them. And that's their very subtle danger. And when we Christians begin to say to ourselves, but what's wrong with this? But what's wrong with that? I suggest that we stop and think very hard. We're on dangerous ground. The world can't see anything wrong, but for the Christian there may be a very subtle danger. You see, it's all a matter of priorities. And this is one of the great problems of the Christian life, to work out our priorities. Why are these things wrong, or how can they become wrong? They can become wrong for the Christian and sins for the Christian if they steal his heart from Christ. The cares of the world. How easily the cares of the world can steal our hearts from Christ. And oh, my heart goes out to the housewives. Life is very busy, and the kids are sometimes very trying. Oh, they're lovely, we love them, but they are difficult, and sometimes when the end of the day comes, at midnight or after, we are worn out, and the cares of the world are heavy upon us. And how easily those cares steal our hearts away from Christ, and we lose his peace. And then they're wrong. And we must look at them again. And we must work out our priorities again. For nothing must come between our hearts and Christ. And what about those riches? We've got to live. There's nothing wrong with honest labor and honest wages. There's nothing wrong in desiring a good income. But when our possessions, our wealth, steals our hearts away from Christ, then it becomes a sin to us. And instead of our satisfaction being found in Jesus Christ, we are finding our satisfaction in things, in possessions, in riches. And it becomes a sin. And what about the pleasures of this life? God has given us many good things to enjoy. And yet, if our true joy is not found in the Lord Jesus, and we have to go elsewhere for joy and pleasure, then these things have come in between us and the Lord Jesus, and they have become a sin to us, and our priorities are wrong, and we are in danger. Think of the vine and the branches. Unless the sap is flowing freely from the vine into the branches, there will be no fruit. Unless the stem of the corn is free from all those choking weeds, there will be no fruit. And so, may the roots go down deep. And may the weeds be removed and our priorities be right. And so we come to the more cheerful, final soil that is given to us. The fruitful heart. Bearing fruit in holy living and effective service. And a number of words are used if we correlate the three accounts of this parable given us in the Gospels. The word is heard, it's understood, it's received, It's held fast. And let us immediately turn these words in reference to Christ himself. He's heard. He's received. And he's held fast. We will not let him go. The honest and good heart of which Luke speaks. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bring forth fruit. 100-fold, adds Mark in his account. And so I would ask you, if you want to be 100% for God, and who doesn't? Is your heart a docile heart? Teachable? Submissive? And easily managed by your master? And just notice a final word. It brings forth fruit with patience. With patience. It is interesting to notice that as this parable proceeds, so the length of time gets prolonged. The first seed falls upon the pathway and immediately is snatched up. The second, in the stony ground, quickly bears a little blade and shows signs of life and then dies. The next, amongst the thorns, there is seed developing, but it never matures. And then finally in the good soil, with patience and endurance, there is fruitfulness. It might be a slow work. It certainly will be a deep work. But it'll be a fruitful work that God does in this heart. And we must persist. It's grand coming to Keswick. No place quite like it in Convention Week. But we've got to go home. And some of you are going back tonight. And it may have been great your coming here, and God may have met with you and spoken with you, but remember that as the seed of the Word of God, as the Lord himself is enthroned in your heart, and he goes down deep and takes full possession, you must be patient and endure, and then you will have the joy of seeing the fruit in your life, the fruit of holy living, and the fruit of effective service. May God grant this to be so for every one of us.